Morning. Today's daf in Yevamos. Daf Mem Zayin. Okay, we find ourselves back behind by one daf, but today was certainly an excellent opportunity to not catch up totally, but really make up some significant ground. As it's not an easy daf, but you'll see. It's going to flow. It's going to run. It's not going to get doesn't get that complex. Thank you, Lubin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned Zechon Ishmaelos Lubin Zaltzman. Today we talk Geiros. So we're going to talk Geiros really in two parts today. We're going to talk about Geiros in terms of an Eved Kenani, and then we're going to talk about Geiros in terms of how we generally view a Geir. First, let's talk Eved Kenani. So just as by way of a brief introduction, let's talk in terms of Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani, two types of Avadim, Eved Ivri, Eved Kenani. Eved Ivri is not really an Eved. The Torah uses the term Eved to describe Eved Ivri, but Eved Ivri just simply means that he's indentured. It's an employee who doesn't have an option of opting out. He's locked into a particular job, but he's not an Eved. There's no status change for him. He's a Jew. He's a bona fide Jew. There is one particular leniency that you have regarding an Eved Ivri, and that is that he could marry a Shifcha Kananis and they could have children, although the children's not going to be his. But that's one unique facet to an Eved Ivri, but for the most part, an Eved Ivri is a Jew. But when we talk about an Eved Kenani is a non-Jew. What happened is that you purchased an Eved Kenani. So I know slavery has been out of this country for a century and a half. I've heard the news. We'll see when we get to Kiddushin. Right, the Gemara there. We'll get to, in other words, how the Torah sensitivity to the treatment of Avadim, Avadim is just part Avadim, right? Avadim is just simply part of the Torah. So anyway, so the by an Eved Kenani, so it's what they would say in the English terminology, the Eved Kenani's chattel, it's property. And so with an Eved Kenani, so you purchase an Eved Kenani and you own the Eved Kenani and it's part of your estate. And when you die, the Eved Kenani is going to go to your next generation. But an Eved Kenani is interesting in terms of his status. Where is he? Where does the Eved Kenani lie in terms of status? Somewhere between a Jew and a non-Jew. When you purchase the Eved Kenani, so now he becomes part of your family. I don't mean that literally, but in other words, but he is part of your family. And so, at which point in time now he has a quasi status of a Jew. He's not a non-Jew. He's not a Jew. He actually goes through a tefillah. He goes through an immersion process. And if it's a male, so he has a milah as well. So he goes through an immersion process in which now when he comes up from the mikvah, he's in now this middle status of no longer being a non-Jew but not being a Jew as well. Where does he stand in terms of mitzvah? So we say this time and again, he has the same obligation of mitzvahs as an isha. The only exemptions that he has for mitzvahs are mitzvahs which are time-bound mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that say positive commands which are time-bound. But for all the mitzvahs in the Torah, which really embody and encompass most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, he's bound by those mitzvahs in the Torah. And furthermore, he also has the mitzvah of milah as well, if it's a male. So this Eved Kenani has a middle status. In terms of his ability to marry, so he can marry a Jew. And he can marry a non-Jew. So matzah minas mino, he'll find somebody who's of the same type as he is. He'll marry somebody within the Eved Kenani family. And then what happens at the point of emancipation? If the owner chooses to emancipate him, now in of itself, can the owner free him? So, no is a simple answer, but under certain circumstances, that no turns into a yes, right? The Gemara Brachos gives us a couple of scenarios in which you may do so. But in Eved Kenani, you could free them. But if you free them, they only go in one direction. Meaning, an Eved Kenani that's freed, who gets a shichur, who gets an emancipation together with a shtar shichur, so he's going to tov on the mikvah a second time, and he's going to become a full-fledged Jew. And there's no other direction to go. Meaning, once you go from Eved Kenani, you go to now full-fledged Jew. So yes, it's a little bit strange. I fielded this question in the past without really a good answer. But yes, it's true. In Eved Kenani, his route to becoming a Jew doesn't involve much of his decision-making. Meaning, because he wasn't asked if he could be purchased as an Eved Kenani. That happens. And then if, in fact, the owner feels that he's going to free him, so then he's going to become a Jew, and And it wasn't Barotso. And I'm aware of that. And it's a little, yes, it's a little bit strange, but that's the basic outline of the Nebuchadnezzar. All that takes us now to our Gemara. So we're starting today on Memhamad Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. One line which we should have done yesterday, but we didn't, because it was really a tail end, almost like an epilogue to yesterday's Gemara. We are on Memhamad Beis, two-thirds of the way down, starting with the words Rav. Rav Achshir l'Rav Mari Barachel, umange b'porse debavel. So Rava had a Jew. Remember yesterday's discussion was, what is the conclusion of a non-Jewish man having a child with a Jewish woman? What is that child? So despite the fact that a number of Amoraim say that the child is a mamzer, but the Gemara concluded the child is not a mamzer. The child is a kasher. To the level of degree of kasher, can this child marry a Kohen? So that wasn't clear in the Gemara. That's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim. But the child is a kasher. So Rava had Mari bar Rachel, Mari the son of Rachel. Why isn't his father mentioned? His father was not Jewish. So Umanya beporsed to Bavel, and he appointed him to be an officer in Bavel. Now the Alpha gav damar Mari. Now, so he gave him a position of authority in Bavel. And even though we have a general rule, some to sim alacha melech komasim moshata meisim lo yeh la mikar vachecha, we know that in terms of appointments for positions of leadership, they have to come from people who are born Jewish. Gerim cannot take positions of leadership. The pasuk says, "Mikar v'achecha," has to be from amongst the brothers. And even though that pasuk, by the way, is describing the king, the Gemara's assumption is that that is true by any appointment for any leadership position. Haikim dima misra mikar v'achecha karina bay. But yet, because his mother was Jewish, so he felt that qualifies. Meaning, it's enough that his mother was a Jew, despite the fact that his father was not Jewish, but that's okay. It's mekar v'achecha. It's not okay, meaning it qualifies. That's enough of a qualification so that he can, in fact, take a position of leadership. Okay, that was really just an end note to yesterday's Gemara, and let's go on. The servant of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami toveled a woman who was not Jewish, l'shem insasa, for the purposes of being a wife. Okay, really difficult Gemara to understand exactly what the context was. Rashi himself struggles exactly what's going on over here. But let's just deal, I'll just take Rashi's simple pshat, Rashi's first pshat. Rashi says, Atbala l'shem insasa, he told her to be a wife. Look at Rashi, what does Rashi write? L'shem tvilas nida. V'lo l'shem tvilas geirus. He told her because she was a nida and not for an actual conversion. Now mind you how strange this is. And she's not Jewish. And he's toveling her because she is a nida. Now, physiologically, obviously there's no difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. They both go through a menstrual period. In terms of halacha, there's no nida by a non-Jew. There's no tumas nida by a non-Jew. That's specific to being Jewish. So the idea that he's toveling a woman who's not Jewish because she's a nida, and he wants to cleanse her of her nida, what's that? Well, how are we supposed to understand that? I'm a Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef now, looking at this scenario, says, Yachin l'achshur ebal v'barta. I can be machshur both her and her daughter. Meaning, I'm going to tell you that she is, in fact, a qualified giyores, and her daughter is as well. So, and not a giyores, but rather daughter of a Jew. Now, ba'kid Rav Asi, dam Rav Asi, melo tavlo l'nidosa. So Rav Asi makes a statement which we haven't even seen yet in its original. We're going to see it momentarily. But Rav Asi will make a statement that, look, you know why she toveled? Because she's a nida. Now again, we're talking about a non-Jewish woman. There is no nida by a non-Jewish woman. Oh, right. In other words, because she wants, I know this is a funny sentence, but she wants to be a nida, meaning adopt the halachas of what a Jew would adopt in terms of nida, tefillah b'mikvah. So, really, that tefillah that she did, even though it was stated that it was for Anita, but really it was for the larger picture of actually her converting. Now, as far as the daughter is concerned, that's fine, because even though the father was not Jewish, but nevertheless, now the mother went through a legitimate conversion, a valid conversion, and so good. So we go back to the conclusion of yesterday's daf, which is that if I have a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, they have a child, the child is kosher. Okay. So, fine. And we're going to come back to this idea of toveling because she was in need. In fact, we're going to come back to it right now. There was a particular person they described as the son of a non-Jewish woman. Armiasa, you'll see the Gemara every time not every time. Many times when describing a non-Jewish person, they'll refer to him as an arma. In this case, in the feminine, armiyasa. So in other words, your mother was not Jewish. So Am Ravasi milo tavla nidosa. So here's the original statement where Ravasi said, you know why she tovled? She tovled because she was anida. Again, what that means is, Rashi entertains two pshatim. I'm offering Rashi's first pshat. Take a look at Rashi inside for both, but Rashi himself prefers his first pshat. That she tovled really for the purposes of conversion. The fact that it was stated that she tovled to be because she was anida really was just an example of what she wanted to tovel for. She really wanted to tovel for the larger picture of nida and all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And so therefore the tefillah is valid and therefore conversion is valid. And so therefore Ravasi was dispelling the rumors that mom was a armiyasta, where she was a non-Jew. That's not in fact true. The conversion was good. A similar story, says the Gemara, where a man was being described as being the son of an arma. His father was a not-Jewish. Rav Yishuv ben Levi, milo tovel l'kiryo. So Rav Yishuv ben Levi says, look, he toveled in the mikvah. And he toveled because he was a balkari. He had a seminal discharge. And so, again, from the larger perspective of, that's not why he tovled in the mikveh. He tovled in the mikveh really to be Jewish. And he's just, this is cited as just simply an example of one of the reasons why he wanted the tovel. And let's assume, does Rashi say it over here? No. You'll see. Later on, we're going to assume that a bris was had. Although, to be fair, Rashi does not...
It's Macmillan's descent. It's mother's.
Yeah. Well, no, but he agreed. But what Rav Yishuv ben Levi wanted to argue was that even though he toveled and it wasn't a quote-unquote conversion tefillah, that tefillah was good enough. So he was, Rav Yishuv ben Levi was arguing that even the father was Jewish, meaning converted. Amar Rav Chama bar Guri, Amar Rav Lekech, Eved Min Ahovi Kochavim, V'kadim V'tov L'Shem Ben Chorin, Kana Atzmo, Ben Chorin. And here we get to a very interesting halacha. And that is as follows. Okay, you're going to make a purchase, you're going to buy an Eved. An Eved Kenani. And you're going to buy him from a non-Jew. Okay. Here comes now an interesting distinction. And that is as follows. You're obviously as buying him as an Eved Kenani, so you're going to obviously purchase him as chattel, as ownership, and he's going to be subject to you, meaning he's going to be part of your property. And you're going to tovel him in the mikvah, as I described in the beginning of the shiur today, whenever you buy an Eved Kenani, so because now he's being owned by a Jew, so he's now going to get a status change, he's going to become now a quasi-Jew. And he's going to tovel in the mikvah. But here comes now the interesting part. He's going to tovel in the mikvah. What he can do is he can tovel in the mikvah and he can make the following declaration as he tovels in the mikvah. I know right now I'm being purchased by a Jew. And I know that this tefillah right now is supposed to put me in a position of Eved Kenani under the ownership of a Jew. But I would like to go through a full conversion. I'm going to go into the mikvah and I'm going to use this opportunity to make the full jump from non-Jew to full Jew. And obviously, including that full jump, is he's going to skip over the Eved Kenani portion of that stage. Now, the bris milah is going to get. Even Eved Kenani is going to get a bris milah.
Is he going to get that before he even goes to the mikvah?
Assume so, although part of Gemara's later discussion of Gemara. So the Gemara, to which now, let's think this through. How can he do that? Meaning, by what right does he have to do that? So as the Gemara is going to explain, but I'm going to spell it out first, and then we're going to see it inside in the Gemara, it works in the following manner. A non-Jew cannot own another non-Jew. Meaning, when we talk about ownership, like I discussed earlier this morning, when we're talking ownership, we're talking about ownership of the person versus rights to his labor. Right? Kind of like we had the discussion earlier, kinyan aguf versus kinyan aperos. Okay? When you have, when a non-Jew, quote unquote, owns another non-Jew, that's not ownership of guf. That's not ownership of his body. In other words, he simply has rights. You are, a non-Jew owns another non-Jew, it's basically in effect saying, you are an indentured servant, you work for me, no outing of the contract, but he doesn't own his body. And interestingly enough, when a Jew takes possession of the non-Jew, he's going to, in fact, change the change the nature of the ownership. He's going to buy him as an Eved Kenani with a king and a gof. Now, how exactly does that happen? Meaning, in any transaction, seller can only sell to buyer everything that he has. The non-Jew himself only has a kinyan peros. He doesn't have a kinyan agof. So how does a Jew move that ownership from a kinyan peros to a kinyan agof? The answer is the mikvah. The mikvah and that toveling in the mikvah is going to give him that status change. And it's at that moment where the Eved Kenani can say, literally say, no, I'm not going to accept this as my conversion to just becoming an Eved Kenani. I want to take this opportunity to use it as a full conversion. Now, obviously, let's now look at the transaction. Now, obviously, money was transacted. He paid for the Eved Kenani. So, in fact, the buyer is going to need to get reimbursed. And let's even argue that the person responsible for the reimbursement is going to be this new convert. But right now, the Gemara is just going to be focusing on the first point that I just laid out. That it's at the moment of the actual Tefillah B'Mikvah where he can opt out from becoming an Eved Kenani to becoming a full Yisrael. Let's see all this inside. From a non-Jew. Sorry. And he tovels to become a free man. Kana atzmo ben chorim. The Gemara says it works. He now will become a free man. My time. And the Gemara spells it out. So because the non-Jew doesn't actually own the other non-Jew. And as we pointed out, the Gemara is now just stating it. Now, I only do it because of Gemara. What happens now is that the non-Jew, what can he affect in that transaction? The only thing he can affect is that which he had, which is only the king in Peros, not the king in Aguf. The kevin, the kadam v'tavol Hashem ben Charan. And since when this Eved now goes into the mikvah and makes the declaration, I'm going to become a full-fledged convert. Afkele shibudei. So what does he do? He removes the lien off of himself. Meaning that even though the Jew purchased him, and even though what's securing that purchase? The answer is, he is. He was the property that was securing the purchase, but because now he's freed, and granted he's the one who freed himself, that emancipation breaks the shibud. It totally dissolves the lien. And the Gemara now is going to point out, we see this time and again throughout Shas, there are three things which is mafkia shibud, which just totally dissolves the lien. The Gemara goes through all three things. Gidarava damarava, hektish chametz v'shichur mafkia midei shibud. Hektish chametz v'shichur or all break a lien. I'll give three simple examples for all three of these. Let's say I have an obligation to somebody. I borrowed money from somebody. My creditor wants to know what's going to secure the loan. So I point to my animal and I say, that animal right over there, right, beautiful bull. That's going to secure the loan. And now, generally speaking, in any obligation, especially if it's documented, so my property there is to secure the loan. But here, I go even one step further. I actually identify which item I own is going to secure the loan. That's called an halacha and a potiki, where I actually identify an item. And now, after such, I'm makdish the animal as a karban. I could do it. It's still mine. I mean, granted that animal right now is securing the loan. Good. Example number one. Where hektish, meaning a karban, is able to just simply dissolve the shibud. Now, granted, I'm still indebted. I still have an obligation. I still owe the money. That doesn't change. But the animal itself now is no longer meshubad. The hektish breaks it. Example number two. Chametz. Let's say, I, once again, borrowing money, I point to chametz as being the apotiki. The chametz that I own is going to secure the loan. And then Pesach rolls around. The sixth hour of Erev Pesach, midday of Erev Pesach, where now that chametz becomes aser min haTorah, aser behana'ah, I'm obligated to burn it and destroy it. That is going to lift the lien off of the chametz. and I'm going to, in fact, destroy it, even though that was secured against the loan. And finally, number three, example number three, shechor. If, let's say, I borrowed money, and I pointed to my Eved Kanani as the apotiki. Now remember, as an Eved Kanani, it's my property, it's my estate, and I point to it as the apotiki, that's going to secure the loan, and then I free him. Again, that doesn't change my obligation, but it breaks the shibud. Rav Chista is bothered. The Gemara tells the story of, I'm probably not pronouncing her name correctly. She is a convert, Baluria. Now here's what happened. She's converting together with her estate. And included in that is Avadim. So what happened is that first they went into the mikvah, and then she did. Right. Everyone figured out what just happened. And they went to the Chacham, and the Chachamim said, oh, you know what happened when they went to the mikvah? They became full-fledged Jews. That was it. Cheirus, that was it. That was the freedom. So now that's fine.
Declaration or
revenue. We'll get to that. So that's fine, but the Gemara is bothered by the following. What if they went in afterwards? Sounds like the Bryce doesn't say it straight out, but it sounds like that had they gotten into the mikveh after Baluria, they had no option of emancipation, which the Gemara just pointed out, that's not true. And meaning, if they want to declare themselves to be Meshucharim, they may do so. Give me a moment. That's what bothers the Gemara. So Amarav, Lefanabe, Mestam, Bemimforsh, Lacharab, Bemforsh, In, Bemestamlo. So the Gemara says, look, Gemara says that if they toveled before her, so they, perfect, meaning there's no ownership group, there's no ownership person, nobody owns them, meaning because Baluria herself is going to convert. So now as they step into the mikvah and they come out, what other option is there? They became Jews, because nobody was there to own them on the other end of the mikvah. Fine. If they toveled in the mikvah after Baluria, so now it makes a difference, because there's Baluria on the other side of the Tvila. So if she subjugates them, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, it's certainly going to be the odder part of today's daf. But if she subjugates them during the Tvila and as they come up from the Tvila, so good, she takes possession of them. But if they state, and she doesn't subjugate them, that we're doing this Tvila to become full-fledged Jews, then that's what the Gemara here describes as Mefurash. So then it would work.
Before she converted, she didn't have a kinaguf on them.
Correct. Exactly the point.
So the thing is that after she converted, she has to reestablish that. She has to actually establish that.
Perfect, perfect. So that's why if they go into the mikvah before she does, they come out free. No question. Not doesn't even matter what who was intent, that doesn't matter. If she converted first, now she's now a Jew, and she now is on the receiving end of their conversion. So if she receives them as an Eved Kanani, so they're Eved Kanani. But they can opt out, as the Gemara just pointed out. So Rav Avia is not bothered. So he qualifies. Everything we just said is true, but that's if the Eved Kanani is sold to you by a non-Jew, for the reasons that we just articulated. Because they don't have a Shibud Aguf, they don't have a Kinyan Aguf, they only have a Kinyan Aperos, fine. But what if the Eved Kanani sells himself or herself? So, and by doing so, essentially they are giving you their goof. They obviously they own themselves. So if they sell himself or herself, so then what Rav Avi would like to argue is that there is no option of cheirus. There they tovel in the mikvah, they come out of the mikvah, and they go right into Eved Kanani. So Ava Ole Kocham Gufi Kani Dechsiv, and how do I know that? So he quotes Psukim from Parshas Bahar. Vegam Bnei Toshavim Agarim Mechem Mehem Tiknu, you purchase. Atem Koni Mehem, you purchase them. Velohem Koni Mikem, but they don't purchase from you. Explain what that means in just a moment. Velohem Koni Zemizeh, and they don't make Kinyanim from one to another. So Velohem Koni Mikem Lamai. What does that mean? They don't purchase from you. What does that mean? If they wanted to purchase a Jew, not Kinyan Haguf, but as an indentured servant, they for sure can do that. We know that one of the chances of pidyon, of redemption, is if a non-Jew, quote-unquote, owns a Jew, but owning a Jew doesn't mean he owns his goof. Owning a Jew just simply means he owns his maisa yadayim. That, and that's certainly possible. So therefore, what is this brisa talking about? When it says that a non-Jew can't purchase a Jew, it means kinyan aguf. That's what it means. And what's on the other side of that brisa? On the other side of that brisa is, you can purchase them, kinyan aguf. And what Rav Avya is assuming is that even if he or she says after the tefillah, I want my freedom, still, it's a kinyan aguf. So Rav Acha ema bekasbo v'tefillah. So Rav Acha says, look, you made an assumption. You don't know. Could be the Bryce is dealing with a very simple scenario. You purchase the Eved with money, you toveled him, and as he comes out of the tefillah, you subjugated him. And then and only then does he have a kinyan aguf. But otherwise, maybe not. Okay, so Kasha. So the Gemara points out it's difficult. We don't have to necessarily assume that Rav Avya is right. Okay, Amar Shmuel. And here we go. And basically now, for the next couple lines of Gemara, we're going to be discussing. We're now in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara about purchasing an Eved Kanani from a non-Jew. The non-Jew does not own his guf. The non-Jew just owns his Maisi Adayim. Okay. When you purchase him, you're going to put him in the mikvah, and you're going to give him a status change of an Eved Kanani. And he has now two options to come out of that mikvah. Coming out of the mikvah declaring he's a free Jew, or coming out of the mikvah being under your service, and quite frankly, you now have ownership over that Eved Kanani. What's the difference between case A and case B? Really, a declaration and a lack of subjugation. So what Shmuel now is about to teach us is that here's how you do it. Here's how you put him in the mikvah. They come out with option B, not option A, of being now an Eved Kanani owned by the Jew. So Shmuel explains, Amar Shmuel, v'tzarach l'takfo memayim. So you got to hold him down in the water a little bit. Correct. Meaning, it's just a form of subjugation. It just simply means that you're controlling the event. He had the Minyamin Avdei the Ravashi. The Gemara tells us the story of Minyamin, who was a servant of Ravashi. We've seen Minyamin in the Gemara many times, and it's clear. I mean, when did we stop doing Eved Kanani? I don't know. I can't tell you. But certainly the Amoraim still had ownership. So and assuming that Ravashi was at the tail end of the Gemara, where we're already by the, we're still in the 5th century. So Baila Tbule Masri Nialela Ravina Ravacha Breda Rava. So Ravashi, so he outsources the tefillah on the mikvah. He hands them over to Ravina and to Ravacha, and he basically says to them, I want you to do me a favor. Tovel him in the mikvah for the purposes of Eved Kanani, Armalu, and he says to them as follows, Chazu demi naichu kavaisle. I'm putting a responsibility on you. Which means that if he comes out of the mikvah and he declares his freedom, which he can do, so then I'm holding the two of you responsible, and I'm imagining he's saying financially responsible. So Ramalei arvesa b'tzavarei. So what they did is they put a collar around his neck, and arpalei b'tzamtzumalei. So they loosened it and they tightened it. Arpalei k'echidullah v'chatzitza. On one hand, they loosened it because chatzitza. In other words, a tefillin mikvah means that the water has to come into contact with every of the surface area of the body. So they didn't want to put the tie on too tight because chatzitza. And tzimtzumulei k'echidullah v'liktim. V'leima l'hu l'shem ben charmani tova. On the other hand, at certain points they tightened it. Not clear to me when they loosened it, when exactly they tightened it, but they tightened it, and the idea of tightening it is to subjugate and to basically disallow them from saying. Now, I think, I'm not sure, but I think at that point, once they do an action that shows subjugation, even if he said something, it would be a meaningless verbal declaration because he cannot counteract the fact that clearly this tevila is for the purposes of avdus. And as he's coming out of the water, so they take some some cement, and they put it on his head. And again, just to show that he is now an Eved. These are all demonstrative of the fact that he's now an Eved. And they say to him, okay, now you go to your master. Rav Papa says to Rava, members of the household of Papa Bar Abba who paid taxes for other people who couldn't pay their taxes. In other words, there were non-Jews living in this community. The king charged some head tax for every Gugolus, for every skull, literally for every person. Some people couldn't afford the head tax. So what he did is he paid their head tax. But by doing so, he was making the argument, I purchased them. And he subjugated them, meaning he now feels that because he paid their head tax, so therefore he actually owns them as an Eved Kenani. Question is, are they real of Eved Kenani with full status of Eved Kenani? If I wanted to let them go, is it enough for me to just simply say, okay, guys, you can go? Or, as an Eved Kenani, do they need a Shtar Cheres, Shtar Shechur? And he says very morbidly, if I would have died, I never would have been able to tell you this. Meaning, I'm glad you caught me now before I died. Okay, I don't know the context of why he made that comment, but it's the law of the land. That's exactly what the king declares. Meaning part of the law of the land is that everyone has to pay their head tax, and whoever sponsors somebody else owns that other person. And so therefore, it works. Meaning by you paying his head tax by the law of the land, so therefore you own him as an Eved Kenani. Rav Chiya Bar Abba Ikla Le Gavla. Okay, Rav Chiya Bar Abba went to go pay a visit to the town of Gavla. I don't know Gavla, but I'll say it succinctly, it's out of town. It's not where the main population of Jews are living. Anyway, and he saw, right? I know we're kind of out of town. Although I don't even know how to describe it anymore. But he saw a certain just gross negligence of Yadus, of Yiddishkeit, being practiced by the Jews over there. Chazam and he saw the Ma'avdan. So number one, he saw Jewish women living with quote-unquote converts, although these converts, they went through the milah, the quote-unquote more difficult part of the conversion, they never told them the mikvah. Okay, that's number one. Chazul Chamed Yisrael, Demazgav de Kocham v'shasu Yisrael. Number two, at banquets, the wine was being poured by non-Jews for the Jews to drink. We'll get back to that in just a moment. And finally, see, turmesin, a type of vegetable, type of root, that was being cooked by non-Jews for the purposes of Jews. And he saw all this this real basic misconduct by the Jews in the town of Gavla, and he didn't say anything. Also coming to Rav Yochanan, he went to Rav Yochanan, he gave a full report to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan was incensed. Rav Yochanan says, you go back there and you tell them the following. Number one, tell them that the children are mamzerim. Ayenem mishum yayin nesach. Tell them the wine they're drinking is yayin nesach. Al tamaseh mishum bishulah dekacham lefi she'inem b'nei Torah. And finally, finally, those roots that they're eating is subject to bishalakam. And the reason why it's subject to bishalakam is because they're not b'nei Torah. They're not fully Torah observant Jews. Now that last point, we're going to explain also. We're going to explain every one of these points. Now, as far as the children being mamzerim, so this is Rav Yochanan being consistent to what we learned yesterday was the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So step one, a ger has to go through two parts of conversion, mila and tvila. And because he didn't tovel, so therefore he is a non-Jew. And now step two, in terms of why the children are mamzerim. Go back to yesterday's daf. Remember of Yochanan say that if the father's not Jewish and the mother's Jewish, the product of that union is a mamzer. Okay, so that's why Rav Yochanan says the children are mamzerim. Note, based on yesterday's conclusion of the Gemara, we don't hold this way. But again, we're not talking about halach lemaisa, we're talking about Rav Yochanan. Al yenam, in this context, al yenam mishum yayin esach mishum leichlecham and nazir schor schor lekarmelo sikrav. We say to the Nazir, can we give you good advice? You see a vineyard, stay away. Don't walk through the vineyard. Don't make the argument, well, I'll walk through the vineyard, but I'm not going to touch any grapes. I'm not going to eat any grapes. How about this? Just don't walk through the vineyard. Walk around. And Rav Yochanan was saying the same thing regarding them and their Yayin Esach. As Rashi here explains, it's not real Yayin Esach. To be real Yayin Esach, the Nazir has to put his hand into the bottle of wine, kishkush, right, shake the actual wine itself, and then and only then is it Yayin Esach. Here, the Nazir pour the wine. That's what's called koach. Koach doesn't render that wine to be Yayin Esach. Rav Yochanan says, but you know what? Keep away. Meaning, don't have the Nazir pour the wine, even if he didn't actually come into contact with the wine, much like we tell the Nazir, don't walk through the vineyard. And Altar Muslim Mishum Mishula of the Chacham, Lefisha Nim B'nai Torah, Ha B'nai Torah Share. Now, if they were more Torah observant, so then Rav Yochanan wouldn't have made that third point, which is they're eating Bishul Akam. Because it's not really Bishul Akam. Because Hamar Hashemah Bar Rav Yitzchak Mishmei Torah Kol Anechel Kamo Shu Chai Ein Ba Mishum Bishul Of De Kochavim VaHaTormos Ein Anechel Kamo Shu Chai VeYesh Ba Mishum Bishul Of De Kochavim. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that this tormos is a root. It's not an edible vegetable on its own. It needs to be cooked. So what bothers the Gemara over here is it is real Bishul Akum. So the Gemara says it's not, and not according to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan ki dechlishna svirle dam Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mishmei de Rav kol shein olah shokam malachim lecha bo sapas ein bo mishum bishule ovde kochavim. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that if this is not an important food that goes on the table of kings, not subject to bishul akum. Again, as a parenthetical note, we conclude both, meaning that we are of the conclusion that if it's edible raw, or even if it doesn't go on the table of kings, it's not subject to Bishok. We take both of those positions. But Rav Yochanan is focusing on the latter. And which means now that because this root is not a fancy food, it doesn't go on the table of kings, it really fundamentally is not subject to Bishok. But again, Rav Yochanan saw living with non-Jewish men, having the non-Jews pour the wine for them. So Rav Yochanan says, you know what? The food is Bishul Akum as well. I know technically it's not, but just, you know, throw that on. Tana Rabbanan. Ger Shema V'lo Tavu Rebbe Lazar Amar Hari Zeger. We now start the discussion of the Gemara, although we really did already, but we now start the official start of the Gemara talking about conversion. We talked now so far about Eved Kenani and his process of moving to the state of Eved Kenani, and now we talk about bona fide conversion. Ger Tzedek. You go through the Mila, even if you didn't tovel the mikvah, Rebbe Lazar's argument is, that's a convert. She came because our Avosin are our forefathers, not Avim Yitzchak Yaakov. But at Maimon Har Sinai, there wasn't a tefillah in the mikvah. At least it's not written in the Torah. Tovel v'lomal Rebbe Yeshua Amar Har Zeger. What if you tovel, but you didn't do Mila? So Rebbe Yeshua says, that also works. She came up. You know, the matriarchs, again, not Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, but at Mamad Har Sinai, the women didn't get a milah. I know there's an obvious question. The Gemara will point it out momentarily. The Chachamim Omrim, Tavo Vlamal, Mavlo Tavo, Enger Ad Shimol, Vidbol. And the Chachamim say no. Conversion requires two aspects. It requires both milah and it requires tvila. Specifically in that order, the Rishonim debate. All right, a layer lower than the Daf HaYomi. But yeah, you wanna know if the Rishonim go back and forth on that issue of whether the order is significant. Rabbi Yeshua Nami Nelef Me'avos. Why does Rabbi Yeshua learn it from? Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua learn from the men at Maamar Har Sinai? So the Rabbi Lazar Nami Nelef Me'avos. And why doesn't Rabbi Lazar learn from the women? Now the Gemara says, let's make the simple argument. Women didn't get a milah. E.F. Shar. How can that set a precedent for men? But on the other hand, we know that Rebbe Elazar doesn't have a problem with that argument. Rebbe Elazar is comfortable with that argument, that even though we're learning from an impossible scenario, we can learn halacha. For example, Karban Pesach, right? Every one of us is obligated to bring Karban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we've been 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash, but that's a detail. When we bring our lamb or our sheep as a Karban Pesach, so it has to come from non-consecrated item. I can't take my Meiser Behema goat and say, well, look, I'm going to bring it anyway to the Beis HaMikdash. Let me double dip. Let me use it also as a Karban Pesach. It doesn't work. How do we know it doesn't work? Pesach Mitzrayim. Because in Egypt, we didn't have Meiser Behema. And so therefore, we learned from Pesach Mitzrayim that it has to come from Chulin. Let's ask the obvious question. Pesach Mitzrayim, there was no Meiser Behema. How could you learn from Pesach Mitzrayim? Answer, Rebbe Elazar does. He's okay with these kinds of arguments. Nemar Pesach b'Mitzrayim, Nemar Pesach b'Doros. But Pesach Amar b'Mitzrayim, Ein Ba'al Amin Acholin. Pesach Amar l'Doros, Ein Ba'al Amin Acholin. Good. Rebbe Elazar is fine with that argument. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, V'chi Dana Efshar M'Shiyashar. And Rabbi Akiva says, how can you make such a limud? Amalei Afa B'Shiyashar, Raya Gadolihi, V'nil Marhei Menu. Rebbe Elazar says, I'm fine. I'm comfortable with those arguments. So, back to Rabbi Eliezer, requirement of Mila shouldn't require Mila. The women didn't get a Mila, and their conversion was good. Ella, b'taval v'lomal kuleam lo pligi. So the Gemara says, if you tovel them the mikvah, and you didn't get a bris Mila, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer agree. Again, it's not the halacha, but we're not talking. We're talking right now about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. They agree. Demahaniki pligi b'mavelo tavo. We're going in the other direction. Let's say you have the mila, but you didn't have the tefillah. Rabbi Eliezer yell of me'avos. Rabbi Yeshua be'avos nami tefillah havai. And here there's an interesting argument. Did the Jews at Maimon Har Sinai, did they tovel in the mikvah? That we don't. Debatable. So menale ile me'medichsev lechel am v'kideshem yom ha'machar v'kipsu simlo sam. So we do know the following. They laundered their clothing. Now, generally speaking, a simple example, Balkari, man who had a seminal discharge. He has to tovel in the mikvah. Is this clothing, Tommy, that he was wearing? No. No, only he requires tefillah b'mikvah. So Malkum Shaton Kivas and did Shaton Tefillah. So the Gemara now assumes, well, here they're washing their clothing. When I say washing their clothing, I mean put their clothing in the mikvah, which means that they were so Tomei. Tummy here is not really the right word. But they were so in need of a tefillah. There we go, that's better. So they also put their clothing in a mikvah. So now the Gemara is making the logical assumption. Well, if they put their clothing in the mikvah, they for sure themselves went into the mikvah. And then the Gemara says, V'dimon nekiyas ma'ama. The Gemara says, that's an assumption. Maybe that, you know what they did? They laundered their clothing. Right? Rashi describes it beautifully. They're about to have an encounter with the Shekhinah. You want to look good. That's exactly the point. They didn't go to the mikvah. The Gemara says, fine. So maybe the argument goes like this. Again, where do we see that they told them the mikvah by Mamad Har Sinai? Moshe threw blood on them. And even though it was blood, but that's Hazaa, and we have a tradition. You sprinkle, there's tefillah b'mikvah involved, right? Paraduma, right? There's sprinkling and there's mikvah involved. Rabbi Yoshua tefillah b'imaos minalan. Now Rabbi Yoshua, in terms of tefillah by the imaos, where do we know that? That's Farhu. Gimkem aman nichnas utakas kanfei ashchina. Of course, the women at Mamad Har Sinai tovel in the mikvah, because then if they didn't tovel in the mikvah, I know this doesn't make for a solid argument, but what else would they do? In order to go under Kanfei Ashchina, okay, it's not usually those kinds of arguments are not compelling, but the Gemara says that.
But I think by Korban Pesach, if the majority is Tamei, then you can bring Korban. So why is it if the majority are not?
Okay, but again, we're talking about more than just Korban Pesach. We're talking about Maimon Har Sinai and the conversion of the entire Jewish people. Okay, Again, all this is Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara now acknowledges. That's not the halacha. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Lola Menuge, Hashim Ovid Bol. So yeah, in order to have a tefillah b'mikvah, you need... Sorry, let me say that again, and better. In order to have a conversion, you need Mila and Tevila. Pshita Yachav Rabbi Malach Karab, and the Gemara says, now, that would have been everyone's conclusion, right? Meaning, what do you have? Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim. What else would we have thought? So the Gemara says, Man Chachamim Rabbi Yossi D'Tanya Aresh Abava Amar. The Chachamim is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Aresh Abava Amar Malti V'lo Tavalti. Let's say somebody comes and says, you know, I had Mila, I didn't Tovo. Matbila, so, Uma Bekach, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, fine. Tovo him, and what difference does it make? As Rashi explains over here, the Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Mila doesn't have to be specific to Gerus. Right. The Mila is not that critical. So fine, so we'll just tov them right now. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Matbilin. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't tov them. Ein Matbilin. Lathichach Matbilin, Ger B'Shabbos, Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Matbilin. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't just tov them right now. You have to go through the Mila, then you have to go through the Tvila. In other words, the Tvila by itself doesn't make him a Ger. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you want to tov them on Shabbos, that's fine. Why? Because, as Rashi explains, because he says he toveled in the mikvah already. So this tefillin that we're doing right now, again, may not be required. So it's not a real tikkun gavra, where Rav Yossi says, no, the tefillah right now is absolutely necessary, and therefore you can't do it on Shabbos. Amar malafichach matbil and geber Shabbos pshita came and amar avyura becharasai gehech damal lefanenu matbil amai lefichach. I'm sorry, malafichach. Now, the Gemara says pasha, meaning for Rabbi Yehuda, one of the two is enough. Tefillah b'mikvah would be enough, Mila would be enough. So of course you could tovel him in the mikvah on Shabbos, if he already received the Mila. Ma'u detem le Rabbi Yehuda tefillah ikor tefillah b'Shabbos lo, dekam etakin gavra kamash malan de Rabbi Yehuda, oha baye. So the Gemara says no, because really for Rabbi Yehuda, what I might have thought is that, yes, either one, but not that they're equal. It's not either or, it's that really tefillah is the essential. And Mila, okay, but that's not the main part. But for Rav Yehuda, either one.
What about the Tovling on Shabbat?
That's exactly the point. Meaning that he already had a Mila, and so now Tovling in the Mikvah for him is just a...
Isn't that a tikkun? Is not part of the...
I mean, there is a rabbinic decree not to go into hot bath water on Shabbos, even if it was heated before Shabbos, but okay, we're talking about the Mikvah.
You need Beis Din for...
The Gemara is going to address that in a moment. Right now, the Gemara is just focusing on what are the basic requirements in order to go through the conversion process. And Rabbi Yehuda's argument is either or. And again, Rabbi Yossi Omer in Matbilin, and Rabbi Yossi says no pshita. The Gemara says, well, it's obvious. Kevadam Rabbi Yossi tarti beinan tikkun gav Rabbi Shabbos lametkaninan. Okay, for Rabbi Yossi, isn't that obvious? Because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you need both, and so therefore tefillah in the mikvah would make him a Jew that's a tikkun. So again, the argument the Gemara is generating is that, yeah, I know he needs a tov on the mikvah, but the ikar is a milah, and if he got a milah in front of us, okay, so the tefillah we'll do on Shabbos. It's not that essential. It's not that much of a tikkun, and the Gemara's chiddush is no, it is that essential, and therefore he can't do it on Shabbos. Amar Rabba Uvda Hava Bei Rabbi Chia Bar Rabbi Bar Rabbi Bar Rabbi Yosef Masna Rabbi Yoshia Bar Rabbi Rav Safra Masna Rabbi Yoshia Bar Rabbi Chia. Okay, three versions of where this incident actually occurred. The Asal Ekam Eger Shemavlo Taval. A ger came forward. He had Mila. He didn't tov on the mikvah. Amalei Shai Kan Alamach V'Nit Balech. So he says, okay, wait, we're going to tovel you. Shema Minat Tlas, three things we're going to learn. Shema Minat Ger Tzarech Shlosha. First of all, you need a basin. Shema minai no ger shimel v'yid bol. Number two, you need both. That's the conclusion. Both mila and tefillah. Shema minai matbil and ger balayla. And number three, you can't do it at night. V'neima shema minai nami bina mumchen. The Gemara says, what about the fact that they weren't just three stam people, but they were mumchin. So the Gemara says, Delmai Dikrai, Gemara says, look, that's anecdotal. There were three people there, but that doesn't mean they were mumchin. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gertzar, Gimel Mishpat Sivbe. This is Mishpat. We're adjudicating. You need a Beis Din. Tanar Rabbanan Mishabav, Amar Ger, Ani Yachol Nitkablanu, Tamalomar, Itacha, Bemuchzak, Lach. A person can't just simply come into the community and say, hi, I converted. It has to have a chazaka. What if he has witnesses? So witnesses work. What the Gemara later on will ask is, and we'll do this tomorrow, if he has witnesses, why do I need a pasuk to teach me anything? Witnesses validate. Can I accept converts outside of Eretz Yisrael? I mean, we all know the answer, but the Torah says ba'artzachem. So minayin tamalamer itecha b'chol makom she'itecha. Im kein matamalamer ba'aretz ba'aretz tzarich la'aviraya b'chutz aretz tein tzarich la'aviraya de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is of the argument that in Eretz Yisrael you need a proof. Outside of Eretz Yisrael you need no proof for reasons which I'll explain tomorrow. V'chachamim omrim bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz aretz tzarich la'aviraya. And the chachamim say no. A person cannot just step forward and say, hey, I converted. There has to be proof. There has to be evidence that he converted. We don't just simply accept him. Okay, we'll stop over here. This is the end of the Braisa tomorrow. We'll do some more analysis of the Braisa. I've got it.